Good evening.
Good evening.
Beautiful. Beautiful, thank the Lord. It's good to be present. Good to be present. Now, our subject tonight. Hold fast. If you remember nothing else, remember the subject. Hold fast. Don't let go. Look at Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Hold fast. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22. Ephesians 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be the head over all things, the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians 1, verse 18. Hold fast. Colossians 1, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The body, as in the human body, has many members. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no man deceive you or defraud you in your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, puffed up by his fleshly mind. Verse 19, and not holding fast. Many of your Bibles don't have fast in there. That's the better translation. Holding fast the head. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body, and the message tonight is hold fast. How fast should you hold? 2 Samuel chapter 23, please. How fast should we hold? 2 Samuel chapter 23. And verse 10. 23. 2 Samuel. Verse 10. Let's start at verse 9. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We are to hold fast to the head. And you know, whenever the scripture advises you about something, it gives you a perfect example of how should we hold fast. 2 Samuel chapter 23, let's start at verse 9. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodah the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clinged and clave to the sword. He couldn't let it go. He was holding fast. And the message tonight is hold fast. First to the head. Hold fast to the head. When the head loses connection with the rest of the body, more particularly, when the brain loses connection with the rest of the body, you get a paralysis. I dare say that all of us have heard of Johnny Erickson in a swimming accident, and the head was severed from the rest of the body. I remember the first time I saw such a patient, a little girl, 4 years old. She dived into the pool, but the water was very shallow. and she too severed the head from the rest of the body. And I could see her there as she lay, and I remember it distinctly. It was a Friday night. She said, "Doctor, what is wrong? I can't move and I can't feel anything. The head and the lower nervous system were severed. We are the body, and the message is hold fast to the head." Now, when one does not hold fast to the head, and in the human body, when there is a break between the head, the brain, and the rest of the body, you get a paralysis. Now, there are some medical men here, and after the meeting, if you want further explanation, see them. They'll tell you all about it. But when that brain is disconnected from the rest of the nervous system, you're paralyzed. And there are two types of paralysis. In one paralysis, you just lay there and you can't do anything. And I'm thinking, oh, turn with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read there about a man who did not hold fast. His connection with the head was severed. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 10. Demas. Everybody have it? Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And if you read the history of Demas, you will find that he was intimately and closely associated with the Apostle Paul. But for whatever reason, we don't know, he ceased to hold fast to the head. Now notice, he was intimately associated with Paul, that great apostle. And the lesson is, beloved, it isn't being associated with another believer that is essential. It's essential, in spite of all around, to hold fast to the head. And when one ceases to hold fast to the head, one result is total uselessness. I'm thinking of a young man. I can't say that because he's a little older than I am. But I remember as a young man in a meeting, Grace Gospel Chapel in New York City, on a Sunday morning, and I was just a teenager, and he was just a year older than I, and I used to marvel how he could rise on a Sunday morning and worship the Lord. Where did he get those words? It was simply amazing to me. You want to know something? He didn't hold fast. The last time I saw him, and I'll tell you exactly where it was, Manhattan Avenue in New York City. He had a cigar puffing, held in the right hand, and a bottle of whiskey in the left hand. He didn't hold fast. Totally useless where God is concerned. I think of another. I remember the Sunday night before he left for advanced studies. He went away for advanced studies. Oh, he gave a beautiful gospel message. He returned at the end of the year, and he was asked to give a gospel message, which he did. But even in my young days, I said, something's wrong with him. Something is wrong. 2 years later, he was walking around with a gun in his pocket for his own defense, smoking and drinking greatly. He did not hold fast. And for purposes of the Lord, he was useless. I think of another. He spoke at our Labor Day conference in New York City. young man. He gave a beautiful message from Romans chapter 8. I remember it to this day. And on the Tuesday, a dear sister, now with the Lord, visited us, and she said to my mother, now with the Lord. No, my mother said to her, did you hear Brother so-and-so yesterday? Wasn't he wonderful? And I want to tell you, he gave a message. It was wonderful. And this sister said, Sister Garnes, there's something wrong. He's too spectacular. He looks too good. A year later, he was out of the meeting. Several years later, one of my secretaries told me that she had a wonderful time on vacation. She said, there's one man, I wish you could see him. Oh, how he could dance, and he danced with everybody all night. He never stopped. And then a few days later, she brought the picture of this man. I said, oh, I know him. And I called the name. She said, how did you know him? I said, I know him. He did not hold fast. A man who ministered in power to God's people, now useless, totally paralyzed. I have some more listed here. They would take too much time. But there is a second type of paralysis. When the head, the brain, is severed from the lower centers is a second type. In this second type, the lower parts move, but they don't move effectively. Nothing is accomplished. They're on a treadmill. Have you ever heard of a chicken with its head cut off? Anybody? Have you ever seen one? Right. Now, when you cut the chicken's head off, does the chicken stop moving? No, exactly. He has lost connection with the head, but he's still moving. That's a sad thing. Now, again, I see a number of you were students of biology. I am sure that you do today what we did. We used to take frogs, you know. This may sound a little hard, and the animal people may not appreciate what I'm about to say. But we used to take frogs, and I won't tell you how, but we disconnected the brain from the rest of the body. Did the frog move? Sure, he moved. But there was no coordination and no connection with the head. He moved. And we see it very often today. No connection with the head, but plenty of movement. 1 Chronicles, please. Make it 2 Samuel, chapter 18. Movement, but no connection with the head. Movement, but not holding fast. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Let's start at verse 19. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. Joab said unto him, you shall not bear tidings today. You shall bear tidings another day. This day you shall bear no tidings because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what you have seen. Cushai bowed himself unto the ground and unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz again to Joab, however, let me run, I pray thee, after Cushai. Joab said, wherefore will you run, my son, seeing you have no tidings to bear? No connection with the head, no instruction from the head, but he wanted to run. Do you get the point? Now let's see what happened. Verse 23, howsoever said he, let me run, he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. That looked good, didn't it? Can't you see the two of them running? One man has orders to run, the other doesn't. The one who doesn't have orders to run overtakes the other one. Doesn't that look good? Beware of the spectacular. You will find that most of these spectacular people have no connection with the head. They got no orders from the head. They're just moving on their own. Have you ever heard the story? No, it's not a story. Statement. When the cat is away, the mice will play. You've heard that, haven't you? The cat is the controlling factor. But when the cat is not there, the mice just run. And that's what happens here. When we lose connection with the head, we are not necessarily motionless, but our motions have nothing to do with the head. Now let's continue our story. Verse 24. David sat between the two gates. The watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. The watchman cried and told the king. The king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. The watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the gatekeeper and said, behold, another man running alone. The king said, he also bears tidings. The watchman said, I think the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. The king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. Ahimaaz, now mark you, he's running. But he had no tidings. Job didn't tell him to run. No connection with the head. Now notice. Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. He fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hands against my lord the king. By the way, isn't that an impressive message? For a man who had no command, doesn't this sound good? Beware, beloved, of all these people all around here talking and working with no connection with the head. Don't let them deceive you. Well, they'll talk and they'll sound good, but there is no connection with the head. We read on. The king said, is the young man Absalom alive? Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I know not what it was. The king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. You don't have... He got there first, didn't he? He got there first. And I dare say in that race, he must have looked good. And I tell you why I say that. They were asking me today, I like track teams. Oh, I think there's nothing like two men vying against each other and running. And he outran the first man, but he had no news. We read on. Verse 30, the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. Behold, Cushai. Now, this is the man that had the news. This is the man that had connection with the head. This is the man that had orders. Cushai came. Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king. The Lord hath avenged thee this day of them that rose up against thee. The king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is." And the rest of it you can read. He had a message. It is possible, beloved, to be very active and not holding fast to the head, having no orders from the head. You remember in the case of the ark, the Philistines had taken the ark, and David said, "I will get the ark and bring it back." And what did David do? He did what the Philistines did, imitated the world. He put the ark on a new cart. And in the course of their moving the cart with the oxen, the ark shook, Uzzah put out his hand, and the Lord struck him dead. That upset David very much. But when you read two chapters later, what do you read? David said, "You know why that happened? We didn't do it the way the Lord said we should do it." He was working without fixation to the head. And so the second time, he did it the way the Lord said it was to be done. He was holding fast at the head, and lo and behold, everything turned out quite all right. Book of Jeremiah, please. Hold fast to the head. Make sure you're getting your orders from the head. Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14. Verse 14. I wait for everybody to find it. Because tonight the reading of the word is far more important than anything that I may say. Jeremiah 14, verse 14. "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, a thought of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall these prophets be consumed." Oh, they were prophesying, but God didn't tell them to say anything. Beloved, hold fast to the head. Make sure that the information that you're receiving comes from the head. Chapter 23, please. Chapter 23, verse 21. Now, this is going to remind us of Ahimaaz. Jeremiah 23, verse 21. "I, the Lord says, have not sent these prophets, yet they ran." Running without holding fast to the head. Now, for the sake of time, we're going to move a little faster, and I'm going to omit several scriptures. Look them up when you go home. The number of times in the book of Jeremiah and throughout Isaiah, you find people moving and acting with no connection to the head. And the result is always disastrous. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. Now, we have just read of prophets running and speaking without a connection to the head. Speaking like those mice on their own. No divine control. Do we have them today? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. "There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." And we have them today. And may I say this, especially to those of you that are younger, beware of the false teachers. And they all sound good. They all have what we call charisma. They get the big crowd. Beware of them. They have no connection with the head. Now, you say to me, suppose one has ceased to hold fast to the head. What can be done? And this is, to me, a wonderful thing. You see, in the natural world, if that brain is severed from the rest of the spinal cord, in the present state of our knowledge, there's nothing you can do. Oh, you can do things, yes, but I mean to get the two connected again. But oh, God is so good. In the spiritual world, if you have lost connection with the head, it's possible to have that connection recirculated. Book of the Acts, please. Chapter 12. And this always makes me feel very good. Acts 12 and verse 12. I wait till I hear all the pages having been turned and quiet. Now, Acts 12, verse 12, are we ready? When Peter had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary. Notice, please, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. That's nice. John Mark was at the prayer meeting. How about it, young folks? John Mark was at the prayer meeting. I ask you one thing. Do you think he was holding fast to the head when he was at that prayer meeting? Do you think he should have been there? Everybody looked so surprised. And there was a young sister there too, Rhoda. Did she belong there? Was that the place for a child of God to be found? All right. Now we continue. Verse 25. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry or service, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Was that good or bad? Do you think he was holding fast to the head when he went along with them? Everybody looked so puzzled. Of course he was in the right. Goes along as a helper to two older brethren. That's beautiful. I'd like to see more of that today. All right. Come to chapter 13 and verse 5. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John as their attendant. Was that good? Was he holding fast? Thank you. Now we're getting. Now we're getting. Holding fast now with the servants of God, assisting in the work of the Lord. Chapter 13, verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Was he holding fast ahead? Of course not. He ceased to hold fast. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he did meanwhile, so I don't know if he was useless or if he was just making a lot of noise. But come with me now to chapter 15. Start at verse 36. Fifth 15 and 36, some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. It's the same John, the one that wasn't holding fast. All right. Verse 38, but Paul thought it not good to take him who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul said he didn't hold fast. I don't think we should take it. And then, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. One of the saddest verses in the Bible, verse 39. Two godly men, Paul and Barnabas. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Isn't that sad? And believers are doing it today. Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. Paul chose Silas. What a rift. What a break. But that's not the end of John Mark. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. Remember now, Paul says, no, I don't think he should come with us. He didn't hold fast when we were in Pamphos and in Pamphylia. And so, they parted company, as it were. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is sometime after now, same John Mark, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Paul is speaking. Take Mark, the same John Mark, and bring him with thee. He is profitable to me. Was he restored? Did he get a hold of the head again? Oh, that's the good part, isn't it? And child of God, if you find that you have not been holding fast, it's not like the physical system, you can hold fast again. Second Peter, please. First Peter, chapter 5. Oh, you can be restored. First Peter, chapter 5. You remember that it was Peter's coming that we read of in the book of the Acts after he came out of prison, and John Mark was there. This is years later. What does Peter say? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you. And so does Marcus, my son. Was he restored? Was he holding the head? Oh, child of God, if you've roamed away and you cease to hold the head, come back. God will receive you. We can't do it physically for the nervous system. But when it comes to spiritual health, God will do it. Now, some of you will say, well, how do you come back? Well, in the 2 Kings, there is a story there of Elisha. And these men were chopping down trees. And the axe head fell off of the handle of one of those young men. And he said to Elisha, my axe head is off. Now, you see, he didn't have to do that. He could keep swinging without the axe head. Wouldn't he be moving? He wouldn't be effective. He'd be like those that are not holding fast, but he'd be making a lot of motion. Now, what did Elisha say to him? Where did it fall? Now, if you have ceased holding fast to the head, go back to the place where you last held fast to the head. Where did it fall? And he showed him the place. And Elijah made the iron to sling. How do you like that story of John Mark? Is it impressive? Are you favorably impressed with that story? He's restored. Paul compliments him. Peter compliments him. You know what was his greatest manifestation of restoration? One day God said, John Mark, I want you to write the gospel according to Mark. Was he holding the head? Did he come back? I say again, child of God, if that grasp of yours has been weakening, hold on. Come to the place where you first felt a little loosening. Come back. Now, according to my watch, we have 7 minutes. And I want to take the second aspect of this matter of holding fast. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast to the head. Please don't listen to all of these people around speaking utter nonsense. Now, I'm going to appear a little biased in what I am about to say. But I'm going to say it anyway. And then you can chide me afterwards. Young men and young women, stay in the assembly. I don't hear any amens. It's all right. Stay where God has put you. And don't think that the grass is greener on the other side. I have told you the story, and I'm going to repeat it. I was in that island of Jamaica, a beautiful island. I recommend a visit there. Up in the Blue Mountains, and on the North Shore, the lovely. It's not like our waters here, you know. You go in the sea here, first place is murky, and the second place is cold. Not down there. Oh, it's delightfully warm. And we were there. And you're speaking about holding fast and going elsewhere and elsewhere. I was in Maypen, the family. And this was a Wednesday. There was no meeting, see? So Brother Turner said, let's go on a picnic. Fine. We went and we came to this lovely place, sat down, and ate. And I looked across the lake. It was a lake, see? I said, Brother Turner, what is that place over there? Can we go over there? And I took pictures. It was beautiful. And he rode and we rode, and then he stopped. And I said, why do we stop here? Why have we stopped? He said, well, this is the place you wanted to see. And I looked across and I saw the most beautiful place. I said, where is that? He said, that's where you came from. You stop running around. Stay where God has put you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Another hold fast. We'll try to make this one quick. As quick as possible. Hold fast the form of sound words. The pattern, the model, the sketch of sound words. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me. Now, what is a pattern for? A pattern or a model is made for you to follow it. It's like a cookbook. If you follow the instructions, you will get what the instructions say. But if you don't follow the instructions, you may end up with a catastrophe. Is that right? Paul says, follow the pattern. Now, what does the pattern consist of? Don't look so surprised, but look, what did we just read? What does the pattern consist of? Sound words. It said, didn't we just read? Hold fast the pattern, the model of sound words. The pattern consists of words. Sound words. What are sound words? We don't use that expression too much today. Healthy words. Hold fast the pattern of healthy words. Now that's important. Deuteronomy chapter 4. the pattern of sound words. The pattern consists of words. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, I'm going to go a little over time, I know. You take it back from me the next time if you have me again. Because as far as I'm concerned, this is important. And it is this sort of thing that is undermining God's people today. The pattern of sound words. Deuteronomy 2 and verse 4. 4 and verse 2. Do we all have it? You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from the word that I command you. Sound words. This is the pattern, the word of God. It is not to be interfered with. Chapter 12, please. And I do want to stress this, because there is too much alteration of the word of God today. Chapter 12, verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe and do it. You shall not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Don't interfere with the word of God. The pattern of sound words. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 5. 30 and 5, everybody ready? Every word of God is pure. Can you say that about the daily newspaper? Can you say that about the radio and TV broadcasts? You can only say it about the word of God. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Verse 6. Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Follow the pattern of sound words, and don't alter them. Now, in music, we have what are known as altered chords. Some call them chromatic chords. They make the music sound good. Now, that's all right in music. You can alter the chords all you want. Although I will tell you that in many altered chords, you get a miserable sound. So-called, what do they call this thing? Rock music. See, those are mostly altered chords. That's why they leave you so upset and you don't know what to do next. There's no resolution. I can't go into that, but that's a beautiful study. Now, you may alter the chords in music, but don't alter this book. Follow the pattern of sound words. Just as Paul says, as I gave them to you, use the same words with the same meaning. And oh, beloved of God, you be careful of the Bibles that you read. There are some new ones coming out. And we have what are called the higher critics. They know everything. And I was reading some of them. They said, everything that the Bible says, that the Lord Jesus Christ said, he didn't say those things. So we are going, have you heard of the Seminar of the Five? How many have heard of it? Yeah, this is a group of men, and they are going to investigate the Bible and extract what Jesus really said and what he didn't say. Now, don't you be impressed with them. I don't mind how many degrees they have. This word is not to be interfered with. Then you have lower critics. Those are the nice fellows who honestly are seeking to find out what the word of God means and what was said. Now let me give you some examples and then I'm going to stop. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Now there is a new Bible out. It is called the Non-Discriminatory Bible, put out by the Oxford Press. The Bible, the new Bible calls Jesus the human one, but not Son of Man or Son of God. And this new Bible refers to God as Father, Mother. See, you don't want to insult the women. And the Bible is too sexist. It's too male-oriented. So they have changed it now from sound words, and wherever God the Father occurs, they put down God the Father, Mother. You smile. Be careful. Be careful what they tell your children in school. This is what they're teaching them. You know, it's possible to be so educated you become stupid. References to the right hand of God have been removed and replaced with the mighty hand of God so as not to offend left-handed people. My. Do you wonder that Paul said, hold fast the pattern of sound words? Another writer, this man was complaining. He says, now they want us to accept a gender-neutral scripture. Gender-neutral hymns, gender-neutral everything. No male, no female. Just neutral. Unisex. Dishonor to God's word. Now, notice, you are not to say forefathers, because there's fathers in there. You're not to say fishermen, because men is in there. And you're not even to say amen, because men is in that word. And the new Bible doesn't have amen. Do you see the stupidity? And these are supposed to be men with all these letters behind their heads. Heads or names doesn't make any difference. Now, instead of saying forefathers, or better, instead of saying fishermen, they say fisher persons. See? So it can be male or female. Oh, my. And there is a new hymn book that omits amen at the end of every song, because M-E-N is in there. Another man prays to God, our creator parent, not God the Father. God of all peoples, God our mother and father, not father. That's biased in favor of men. Hold fast the form of sound words. I could tell you some more. There's some other things. Altering the word of God. Oh, beloved, don't do it. Don't buy those Bibles, and don't pay attention. You take the word of God just as he has given it to us. Let me read you something. I recited this in Sunday school when I was, I think, 10 years old. And I've enjoyed it ever since. A tribute to the Bible. This book reveals the mind of God, the original state of man, the way of salvation, and the doom of sinners. Just as it comes from God. Now, you will never get that with these alterations that they're putting in there. Because they don't believe in sin anymore. There is no such thing as sin. Ask the modern day psychiatrist. It's your environment and your background and your genes. But not sin. Oh, no. No such thing. That's what they're doing. And they're writing the new Bibles and the new hymn books the same way. I should have read you about the hymn book. Let me see. They're changing the hymns too. Oh, I had one here about the hymns. Well, I don't find it. Doesn't matter. Its author is God. God wrote this book. No human being wrote this book. God wrote it. Oh, child of God, when you hold the Bible in your hand, you're holding a book that God wrote. Do you value it? Why, if you got something signed by George Washington, you'd pay a whole lot of money for it, wouldn't you? And here you have a book written by God. Oh, we should cherish it. Should be the dearest book in your house. Now, I have a little pet peeve about Bibles. And in my home, no book is put on top of a Bible except another Bible. Now, that's my personal feeling. I leave it to you. Its writers were inspired, and it's infallibly written. It is given you in life, opened in judgment, and will endure forever. The word of God we read in Isaiah and in the Psalm endures forever. This book is going to last forever. Oh, they've tried to burn it. You remember Voltaire? Yes, he was that Frenchman. And he decided he was going to burn up all the Bibles. Well, he burned quite a number. But what do you think is happening with the building that in which he burned the Bibles? Huh? They're printing Bibles in that building. Oh, yes. Oh, don't play with God. Don't you play with God. Hold fast the head. It's a mine of wealth. Oh, there's wealth in this book. Oh, young men and young women, study the Bible. Now, I know you have a lot of work at school. I know all about that. Find time for this book, please. There's a wealth of information. And as you dig in, and you have to dig, it isn't on the surface. When you want gold, do you go out there on New Hampshire Avenue and just pick it up? You have to dig to get gold. And if you're going to get the gold that's in this book and the gold in here, you've got to dig. Sit there and study and don't worry about playing so much. Play a little less and study more. It is a mine of wealth. You talk about paying income tax. You don't pay any income tax on this wealth. And it's all yours. Isn't that nice? God's glory is its end. The Lord Jesus Christ is its wonderful object, and our good is its design. Read it thoughtfully. Read it frequently and read it prayerfully. Read it to be wise. You want to be real wise? Want to outsmart those fellows at school? Read Daniel chapter 1. Here are several men captured by King Nebuchadnezzar, and he wanted to train them in all the skills of Babylon. Four of them decided that they would not eat the food that he gave them. The food he gave them was offered to gods. These four refused to eat that food. And then they went to school with all the others. Examination day came. How do you think they scored? 1, 2, 3, and 4. Can God do that today? Does God do that today? Does God do the same thing today? I'm asking you. Sure he does. And I can give you examples. I won't take the time to. Not 100 years. I'm talking about today. Your generation. You honor God and he'll honor you. And they came out 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. Memorize it to grow. Memorize the scriptures. And memorize them while you're young, while your brain will take it in. Before you get old and you can hardly hold anything in your brain. It involves the highest responsibility. It will reward the greatest labor
and will condemn all who trifle with its contents. All these people altering the scriptures. We must stop. Hold fast. Hold fast to the head and hold fast to this Bible. And don't let anybody turn you from the Lord Jesus Christ or from this Bible. I told you the story this morning, did I not? Yes, I told you the story this morning of this great critic who didn't think much of this little fellow reading his Bible. I'll just repeat it. And this great professor said to this simple fellow, you know, he was just a porter in the college there. You're always reading the Bible. You don't even know who wrote it. This simple little fellow, professor, who wrote the multiplication table? Do you know? Oh, said the professor, I don't know who wrote the multiplication table, but it works. And this man picked up his Bible. This works also. Oh, young people, don't be ashamed of the Bible. Hold fast to the head and hold fast to the word of God. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we bow in thy presence. We come through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for thy presence with us. For thou hast promised that where two or three are gathered together unto thy name, you are there in the midst. Thou hast been the silent listener to our conversation. As we have sought to exhort each other to hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ in these days of evil and wickedness and violence and corruption, may we hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ and hold fast to his word. May we not be moved. We thank you for those present. Should there be any who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, our prayer is that they will accept him even this night. We ask thee to dismiss us with thy blessing. Take us home in peace and safety. And if the Lord be not come, bring us safe to morning light. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.